Good morning. How you guys doing? If you are new here, welcome. If you're coming back from a long summer, welcome. It's great to have you all back. It is a huge year. Isn't it a huge year this year? This is a pretty, okay. Four of you have high expectations for this year. This is a huge year. Okay, my wife and I, we have four kids. A lot of you know that. And we've been homeschooling, which is crazy. I know, that's absolutely ludicrous. But we've been trying that, and this year, our two oldest kids are going to middle school. They ran out of things we could teach them. We're like, we better send them to school. And so last Wednesday was their first day of school. People are posting pictures of their four-year-olds all across Facebook. I posted this once a lot where they're 13 and 12, but it was huge. And this looks really nice and quaint, but there was chaos the hours before this moment. We got up and we had to have a great breakfast, right? Savita needed eggs and Sammy wanted bacon. You gotta have bacon before your first day of school, right? And then we realized he hadn't ironed his stuff yet, so Sammy had to iron his clothes and get ready. They have a little dress code. And we had to gather everything up, lunch and supplies and a book bag. They had a homework assignment that was due the first day. What kind of school is that? It was cruel. We had to get that all together. And in the midst of this, there was like angst, right? That first day of school angst. Because you remember middle school, right? What middle school is like? It's like a jungle, man. Survival of the fittest. And so they were a little nervous. They were going and they were worried about, you know, I've got to impress people. You know, are they going to think I'm cool or athletic or smart or funny? I want to be popular. I got to perform. Can you guys relate to that? Some of you may be living that right now, right? How many of you, you have been on campus less than 24 hours? Come on, you could admit it. Yeah, you just moved in. Yeah, I don't know. Come on, raise your hand. You're safe here. Right, and we have that anxiety. Maybe you're a new student, maybe you're transitioning back from home and it's a rough transition, you're not sure about your classes. Maybe you started a new job, maybe you just got married. This is a time of chaos. And for us, you know, there was excitement and there was some anxiety and there was a feeling of being out of control. So as we were leaving, I just pulled the kids together. I said, all right, look, let's just stop for a second. And we had a little prayer. And then I told them, guys, in times like this, you need to remember who you are and you need to remember what you're about. When things get chaotic, you need to remember who you are and you need to remember what you're about. And I thought, this is what we need to do this morning. When everybody's come back and there's a lot of new faces, it's an exciting time of year, but it's also a little stressful, maybe. What a great opportunity for us as this family to pull back together and remember who we are and what we're about. We're going to do that this morning, but before we do, let's pray. Ask God to bless our time. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that we can meet here in the Union and there's space for us. Thank you that we can sing your praises and worship as a family. And thank you for your word that is going to teach us today. I just pray that you would minister to each and every person here. That we wouldn't see this as a worship service and then go along our day, but we would be changed by what you do in this time. We ask this in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys, you came at a perfect time, right? We're starting a new series. It's almost like we planned this. We're going to go through the book of Galatians. Now, the book of Galatians, it's in the New Testament. It's a book that's literally a letter. It's a letter that Paul wrote to some churches. And they're in a region in the south of Galatia. It's a region it's kind of like modern-day Turkey right now. And what he had done, the Apostle Paul, is that he had gone on a missionary journey. And he had stopped at different cities. Iconium, Antioch, Lystra. And he had gone around and he had preach the gospel. The gospel just literally means good news. And so he had told people about Jesus. And what happened in those places is people responded and they followed Jesus and churches were formed. And so all these young and excited churches took root in these cities. But then what happened as he left and he moved on to other things, other people came in and they started teaching different things. In fact, they questioned his credibility. They're like, Paul, we're not so sure about him. Is he really reliable? What are his credentials? And they started introducing new ideas that were a little different than what Paul shared, and they thought they were better. And they were trying to convince these young churches, you know what? Paul missed a few things that are really important. Let me share what they were. This is a little better. It's a little more advanced. And what was happening in these churches is that they get confused. They didn't know. Okay, well, do we rely on what Paul had told us? Or are these guys right? These new teachers? And as we head into this book, there's some parallels for us, right? Mainly being that we're all so young, right? You and I? Okay, maybe just you. I still feel young. But we're in this place where there's a lot of ideas, aren't we? There's like this marketplace of ideas. You're about to go to the involvement fair, right? You're going to head over there and get all your free stuff. And it's just a bunch of people and a bunch of different ideas and a bunch of people's beliefs and their practices and the things that they enjoy all grouped together. And that's kind of what OSU is. There's all of these ideas put forth. You're in this place. And you live in a place where there's messages, offers of truth. And so this is the environment that Paul is speaking to with his letter. A similar sort of place, but where specifically they're being taught things that are different than what Paul had taught. So he writes them a letter, and he says this, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Let me introduce myself. Let me reintroduce myself. This is Paul, an apostle. Apostle just means one who is sent. And remember, I told you he had been attacked a little bit. His credentials had been assailed a little bit. And it's time to introduce himself. And even back then, it was very common for people to say their credentials before they made an argument, to add some weight to what they were saying, to say, hey, this is why you should listen to me. I'm qualified. This would have been the time for Paul to say why you need to listen up, but he doesn't do that. He says, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. He says, yeah, I could share some stuff about me and how great I am or why you should listen to me, but to be honest with you, my mission and my identity and my calling, it's not from a person. It's not from an institution. It's not from any qualifications that I have. It is only through Jesus Christ. I love this introduction. I feel like if I had to introduce H2O Church, or I had to remind this community of who we are, this would be the perfect way to do it. H2O is a community founded by Jesus Christ. Founded by Jesus Christ. You know, 6 years ago, a handful of people came to this campus. There was like 20 or 25 of us. And we just tried to share the gospel and see what God would do. And God has done amazing things. All of this. All of you guys. People who have left here. A boatload of students. An ever-growing community of graduates, grad students, young professionals. People are getting married left and right. They're making babies. Stuff's happening. You're like, oh, sorry. I mentioned making babies. It made you uncomfortable. And honestly, we don't have much of a resume to present to anyone. Qualifications. There's no way we could convince you, hey, you know what? Something really slick is happening here. We have it all together. We're going to wow you with some great performance or some awesome blog. I think we have like 14 Twitter followers or something like that. There's not much happening in the way of slick, in way of a resume. But this is a community that Jesus has planted. He has founded. He is the one that brought us here. And the same is true for us as individuals, isn't it? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are like Paul. Now, you don't have the same role as Paul. We're not going to send you off to Turkey and have you share the gospel there. But your identity and your purpose are found in Jesus Christ alone. And I know that seems weird because many of you, since literally middle school, you have been building your resume. You have been performing all the way through high school, college. Now you're here. Or maybe you've moved on to a job. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look how I'm qualified. Look how I'm performing for you. And in one verse, Paul kind of takes that whole mentality, that whole mindset, and he turns it on its head. He says, look at Jesus. Jesus is the one that put me here. That's the only reason I'm writing to you. That's the only reason I have a role in your life. And then he says this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Seems like a really simple introduction, right? It's me, Paul. Grace and peace. Now let's get down to business. But what's crazy is in five verses, he has already gotten down to business. Twice in his introduction and in his greeting, he's already referenced the most important thing, the thing that this whole book will be about. And that is simply this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he rose from the dead to deliver us and give us new life. It's like oozing out of him. He couldn't write five verses without it coming out. And I think about this community, I think about who we are and what we're about. It's exactly that. H2O is a community founded by Jesus Christ, centered around the gospel. Centered around the gospel, oriented around it, oozing out. Why? Why is that so important? Why is that so important to us? Why am I talking about this at week one? Because the gospel anchors us in the truth. The gospel anchors us in the truth. You know, many of you are here, you're in this place to learn, right? You're here to be educated. You're here to understand, to pursue truth. And we're surrounded by all these worldviews. We're surrounded by all these different ideas. And I bet if I asked each one of you individually, there would be some part of you that longs to connect with something real, something that you can know beyond the latest opinion or the latest fad, but something that you know is true, that you could anchor your life on. Something to address the questions of who am I? What is this world about? You know, Paul starts in verse 1. He said, Jesus rose from the dead. It's such a simple phrase. Many of you have heard it many times, but it's so profound. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. Do you realize that? He's alive. The gospel tells us that Jesus came and he led a perfect life and he died on the cross and then he rose again. It's a faith, our faith, that is centered on an actual historical event that makes all the difference. In fact, Paul said that if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain, your life is in vain, your faith is in vain. Because the resurrection demonstrated that he really was God, as he claimed. It demonstrated that he had defeated death. It is the center point of all of history. Think about that for just a minute. Think about what that means. That means everything that you're going to learn in this place, all of creation, all of your experiences, all of your relationships, everything you're involved in, science and learning and wondrous stuff, it all revolves around and points to this moment, this reality, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It points to this grand story of God redeeming the world. We can anchor our truth, anchor our lives in that truth. Who am I? What is this world all about? There are answers to those questions. I want to ask you this morning, do you hunger for what is true? Do you have a longing for what is true? The gospel anchors us in truth. Why else would we center on the gospel? Because the gospel breathes hope, doesn't it? I remember when I was in school, it was many, many years ago at the University of Michigan. I know. It was terrible. Look, this was my freshman dorm. I have a picture of it. It's literally a jail cell, people. That's how they roll up there. No, I'm just kidding. That's like I was in seventh grade and I went to Alcatraz. I just thought, I knew that's what you thought it looked like, so I was just giving you what you wanted. I was there, and I was like Mackenzie. I was totally antagonistic towards spiritual things. And I spent the first 2 years indulging in every single thing the world had to offer. Everything that your classmates and the people around you are saying will bring fulfillment. I was partying, had a girlfriend, was playing sports, still doing well in class, even though I rarely went. And after 2 years, lo and behold, I was still sensing there was something missing. And I had this deep sense of brokenness in my life. Like there was something wrong that I couldn't fix. There were things I wanted to be and wanted to do that I knew in my own power, I couldn't get it done. Habits I couldn't break. And I had reached this point in my life where I had thought, maybe this is it. Maybe this is all that there is. And to be honest, I was losing hope. I was striving, toiling to make myself better, searching for meaning and purpose. And then some Christians reached out to me and they shared to me about Jesus. And they started talking to me about our sin and our brokenness. They told me that we've all sinned and we've rebelled against God. And then they said that we're all in the same boat and that all, every single one of us falls short of God's glory. And that there's nothing that we can do, there's no good works that we can perform to make ourselves right in God's sight. And I'm sitting there listening to him thinking, I knew it. I knew this was a train wreck. Why are you even telling me this? This is the worst news ever. And I felt like it confirmed everything that I had thought about the world. It's kind of depressing. But then, just as Mackenzie shared, they turned this corner and they started talking about Jesus Christ. And that there was a purpose behind his death and his resurrection. That if we would humble ourselves, we would turn from our sins and trust in him alone. We could have new life. We could be restored. We could be forgiven. They said, yes, we are broken, but guess what? Listen to this. God accepts only the forsaken. He cures only the sick, gives sight only to the blind, restores life to only the dead, sanctifies only the sinners, gives wisdom only to the unwise fools. In short, he has mercy only on those who are wretched and gives grace only to those who are not in grace. And I remember being floored, somehow thinking that this wasn't just a rat race where I needed to work hard and be destined for failure. I remember being floored by grace. And you know what they did next? They said, hey, if you want to learn more, you should come to our morning prayer meeting. This is in the dorm. It's at 7 a.m. That is like the worst outreach idea ever. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus, and if you want to learn more, 7 a.m. It was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll see you. But you know what? I went to that prayer meeting. I started getting up every single morning. You know, and I would whine quite a bit, actually. And I would be like, oh, I don't want to go today. I'd yell out the door when they knocked. I'm not coming. And my roommate would be like, shut up and go pray. You need to get back to sleep. And I would go. And I've been thinking about that. I was like, why on earth would I go? What possessed me? I didn't know God. But when I heard the gospel for the first time, that little sliver of hope, it was reignited. There was something in me that said, maybe this idea that there is something more, maybe it's true. And I had missed it. I was so desperate to find out if it was real, I would get up at 7 and pray. Are you desperate for hope? The gospel breeds hope. Why would we be centered on the gospel? The gospel produces restoration. Paul says in this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. And it's not just about what happens when we die, right? That we can be with God forever. It's also about what happens right now. We have been so messed up by the brokenness of this world, haven't we? And so messed up by the brokenness in our own heart. It's destroyed us, each of us. I bet if I came and you came one by one, you could share stories for hours of pain and suffering and brokenness, things that we've experienced and things that we've done to other people, right? There's a brokenness in this world, but in the midst of that, God is redeeming, he is restoring, he is healing. See, when a man or woman believes in Christ, God does a work in their life. Some of you may be sitting here and thinking, wow, okay, he's just talking about the gospel. This is really neat. Maybe somebody here has never heard it before, and this is for them. No, it is not for them. It is for us. It is for all of us. It is for all of us all the time. Because this work of restoration that God is doing in our life, it begins with the gospel, and it continues with the gospel. Day by day, as we preach it to ourselves, as we live it out in our lives, as we remember it in community. See, Paul, he didn't want for the Galatians to be converts. You know, he didn't want to have a little invitation and have them raise their hand. Okay, I'm in. I'm going to be one of you. I believe that information that you just shared. And then go off and try to be good. That's not what he wanted. He wanted them to experience freedom, to experience a life of really understanding what it means to be connected to the Lord, to be transformed in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of the suffering, to be transformed to be more like Jesus. It's a whole brand new way of life, a life of healing. Picture it just for a second. Picture a life free from addiction, free from compulsion, free from insecurities, free from secret sins. And not only healing to your life, but picture yourself with a purpose and a vision that is grand. Because God, as he restores us, he sends us, picture us, engaging our city and our campus with the gospel, fighting for justice, loving the poor and the needy, giving generously to them, healing families and relationships to be a light. And this happens one way for young and old people alike. It happens by when we go back to the gospel and we remember the gospel and we're refreshed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guys, I want to tell you, it is not a Sunday morning experience, okay? This is not something where church is you go on Sunday and you get a little gospel pep talk, or you get dazzled because the preacher used some Greek word, and then you go merrily on your way and live your life. That's not what we believe. We're weird here. That's becoming clear to you probably. We're weird. We believe that the gospel is about every moment, every day of our lives. That it's something we believe and we live in. And it transforms us in our classes and our jobs, our families, our relationships. And it happens in community. We do it together. That's why one of the focal points at H2O are our H2O teams. These are like 20, 30, 40 people, and they're all spread out, different regions of campus, off campus. There's some in the city. And we try to live out our faith together. And honestly, that's the heart of H2O, just so you know. That's the heart of being involved here. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, okay, what's one thing I could do to get involved? Get involved in one of those. Why? Because a community centered around the gospel experiences restoration, life transformation. That's why the gospel is so important. I literally could go on for hours about why it's so important. I won't. I will move on to verse 5. Paul says this, it's going to repeat it. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I just want to add this one last thought, is that H2O is a community founded by Jesus Christ, centered around the gospel for God's glory. For God's glory. It is not about us. We so desperately want it to be about us, don't we? I want everything to be about me. I'm obsessed with me. Can anyone relate to that? I mean, you're obviously not obsessed with me, but yourself, right? It'd be a little creepy if you're obsessed with me. Don't we spend most of our days obsessed with ourselves? I mean, honestly, even right here, we're thinking about, oh, well, you know, how do I look? Am I all right? Wow, am I sweating? I feel like I'm sweating. But there's a big story, and the story's not about us. We're not the main character. There's a God, a creator, who sent his son to redeem us. And he's given us the privilege of knowing him. And the gospel, remembering the gospel, pulls us out of our little story and into the big story, the story where God is being glorified. The gospel redefines the story for us. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about H2O. That name will come and go. But there's a God who it is about. It's about him. H2O is a community founded by Jesus Christ, centered around the gospel for God's glory. You know what we're going to do this fall? We're going to get into this book. I mean, we only got through five verses. We're going to get into this book, and what we're going to do is we're going to discover or rediscover how the gospel redefines everything. Everything in our life. But the best way to kick that off, we figured this morning, is to do the thing Christ taught his disciples to do. Right before he went to the cross, he took bread and he took wine, and he told them to eat and drink it in remembrance of him. It is a proclamation that we believe in Jesus Christ. It is a declaration that he is coming again. And that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to have the worship team come back up, wherever they might be. And they're going to play a few songs. And during that time, I just want to invite you, feel free to worship or pray. And then at some point during those times, if you want to come up and get a piece of bread and dip it in the juice, we have gluten-free. That direction, there's a little sign. And this is for anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. And I want to say, if that isn't you this morning, if you're figuring out what you believe, I just want to invite you. Remember that quote that I just read? It's from Martin Luther. I want to read it to you again. He said, God accepts only the forsaken, cures only the sick, gives sight only to the blind, restores life to only the dead, sanctifies only the sinners, gives wisdom only to the unwise fools. In short, he has mercy only on those who are wretched and gives grace only to those who are not in grace. If that's you this morning, if you're hungry for truth and hope and restoration, then today could be the day. I just want to invite you to communicate that heart of brokenness, that heart of neediness to the Lord, that you desire to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus alone to forgive you. And then come and join us in celebrating communion as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that in the midst of our day-to-day life and all the busyness and all the chaos, there is a truth that gives us perspective, a reality that you loved us so much that you sent your Son, who lived a perfect life, to die on the cross for our sake, that we might be forgiven. And then he rose from the dead to show that he was God and that you had defeated death. And Lord, together as a family, just for this moment, we want to remember that. We want to thank you for it. Thank you that simple and yet profound message changes every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.